So before I do the kids' story, which reminds me, Michelle, I accidentally forgot the kids' book in my office. So, good times. I've got a few announcements to make. I'm doing it this week because we're going to do something a little different than usual. I'm going to steal Kyle's mic here for some of the announcement. So we're obviously starting our Operation Christmas Child stuff. You can see it out there in the foyer. Grab the list of the stuff that you should pack. There's stuff on there indicating what you shouldn't pack, which I believe every year is just a lesson that you learn, and you're like, I think this is year three or four now that toothpaste has been banned, and every time I come to it, I'm like, what? Toothpaste is banned? And it's always been that way for a while now. Thank you. Pack some shoe boxes. There's going to be ones for the youth and the children, I think, do a packing party at some point in time, too. So it'll be good times, but they are out in the foyer. And there's several kids out there, if you don't like building the boxes, that really do. So pester them and be like, hey, build me a box, please, and get them doing that. They're supposed to give a quick reminder to people as well that if you haven't gotten your Kids Zone registration forms in, you should probably do that. We kind of need those. They are important for legal reasons and such, so and plan to protect. So get those forms into us, and that would be fantastic. Anyways, this week we are going to introduce some of our small group leaders here, and someone, and also Don, who's interested in doing a prayer group, which will be a little different than a small group, obviously. And she just wants to pray for the families of the church. But I want them to introduce them, get behind the passion of what they're doing. Some of the groups are full already, but there's some that would love to have new people in them, and that is fantastic. So I'll go around with the mic here and hand it out to people. And we're going to start with Rhonda. She's in charge of the small groups, and she'll just introduce her group. They're kind of full, but they're a good group.
Okay. Is it on? Can you hear me? Why small groups? Well, it's a good way to know your neighbor from church. And Irvin and I have been in a group forever. I can't remember when we have not been in a group. And our group has been in operation, I believe, for 30-some years. 30? Probably, around that. And we've just kind of, through the years, had different people join us, and we've kind of had the same group for a while. The only time that we were not really operating was through COVID, but we would have a few barbecues around outside, and we could fellowship together. So it's fellowship time, and what we do in our group is we have fellowship. We have our Bible study, and then we have prayer time. And it's so important to have somebody in your corner who can be... I hate talking with my back to everybody. It's so important that you have somebody in your corner who can come around you when things get tough. And also to share with the joys that we have and just encourage us as we go along. And that's what Irvin and I have really appreciated, and I think most of the people in our group. And, you know, life's tough, and there's lots of things that go on. And so it's really nice to be connected to somebody in our church. The one thing we do talk about is confidentiality. You know, we're sinners saved by grace. And there's sometimes things in our lives that go terribly wrong. Lots that go right because we have Jesus with us. But sometimes things go really, really wrong in our lives. And we need somebody to stand beside us and carry us and pray through with us and just be there. And I know this church has really done that for me in the past where, I don't know, God, this is really tough. And so that's why I say... small groups. It's to get to know your neighbor from our church. Get to know us on a different level, because on Sunday we get to know each other. It's high and by, and but we really don't know each other really deeply. So I would encourage you to join a small group, and we can try to make it work. I know there is some who have lots of commitments, but we could try to make something work for you if you would like. Okay?
Thank you, Rhonda. I'll go to John Maxwell next, and they're about to start up a new group. Just tell us a little bit about that.
Thanks, Brad. Wow, well said, Rhonda. I'm going to pull up a very poor second, I'll tell you that. Great job. Our group will be just starting up. Haven't even nailed down the date yet. It's going to be once every 2 weeks, Friday nights. And we have room for one more couple. So if the Lord places on your heart that he wants you to give myself or Doris a shout, please go ahead and do so. And we're looking forward to getting going. It won't be that long, but within a couple of weeks or so. So thanks a lot, Brad. Appreciate it.
For sure. And Brad and Jackie are also looking at starting up a group as well, and we'll just get them to kind of talk about that.
Well, good morning. Yeah, my name is Brad McCullough, and Jackie, my wife here, we opened up our home for a study group. It hasn't started yet, so we haven't had any names be put down. But if you'd like to join a group, everything's been said about why you should join a group, and it is very, very important that I found in my experience that when we started the church here in 1989, I think we were part of we hosted a group, and that's how the church grew. There were people coming every week, and you get very close to each other. You learn to support each other, to pray for each other, and you just form a community and a bond, and you look out for each other. So we just encourage you, if you want to join another group, Jackie and I have opened our home for that. Probably in a couple of weeks, we'll just have a potluck lunch at the house, just to kind of see who's there, discuss what nights, what times you want to meet, what topic you'd like to cover, if there's something special that you'd like to cover. And, just go from there and see how it goes. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, small groups are a fantastic way to get into community around here, and I fully promote them. I'll just have Dawn quickly stand up and just talk about her prayer group that she's looking at beginning as well at this time.
Hi. I'm going to be hosting a prayer evening here at the church on Wednesday evening, so it's going to be every second week starting this week, and it's going to be a little different than what you would think of as a traditional church prayer meeting. I just feel the need to focus on our families, on our kids, and everything going on in the world, and I just think it's so important to bring our families before the Lord, and I've been part of a group like this for many years, and I can say that it's just an encouragement to hear other people pray for your children and your families, and God has just been answered so many prayers, and he just carries us through the hard times, and we celebrate the good times. So if it's something that you're interested in, it's probably not the same kind of commitment that you need to be there every time, but if you want to come in, drop in. 6:30 to 8 o'clock here at the church, starting this Wednesday.
Thank you so much. So as we were just singing, God is so good, and you can just see it in the fact that we have people that desire to have kind of life kick in certain aspects of the church, especially for small groups. Those are an amazing thing to be a part of, and obviously in a prayer group. I'm going to be at that one for sure on Wednesday nights, so looking forward to that. I do want to pray right now for God's faithfulness before we dip into our word here and just be ever so grateful for the community that we have here and the people that want to pour into this church group here as well. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the small groups that some are looking at kicking off and some are already going and they're digging deeper into your word. So, Lord, as we sit here today, I just pray that you prompt the hearts of those that need to be in attendance of small groups and encourage them to go and talk to the leaders. Have the leaders even encouraged to talk to others that they feel would be a good fit into the group. And Lord, we just pray a blessing upon them. May we be a church that faithfully pursues your word. May we dig deeper in our relationship with you. May we pursue you with all of our might. I pray that we don't take for granted the things around us and the people around us. You have placed everyone here. So we just pray for our church, that we continue to grow, that we continue to develop, that we continue to demonstrate generosity, that we continue to reach out into the communities, that we continue to be remembered as the church that is super friendly when people attend here. So we pray for your hand upon us and for your leading. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, kids. Today's story is called The Bronze Snake. The Israelites had not trusted God, so he did not allow them to go into the promised land. Instead, they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Along the way, the Israelites grumbled and complained. First, they whined, "Why should Moses and Aaron be over us? We don't need them to tell us what to do." So God told Moses to gather a staff from each of the 12 tribes and bring them to the tabernacle. God said, "The staff of the man I choose for my priest will sprout. That will stop the Israelites from complaining about you." Moses gathered the staffs and placed them in front of the tabernacle. The next morning, Aaron's staff had not only sprouted, but it had also grown flowers and almonds. God showed the people that Aaron was his chosen priest. Next, the people complained because they didn't have water to drink. God told Moses and Aaron to stand in front of the people and speak to a rock. Then water would come out of the rock. But Moses was so angered by the people's grumbling that he hit the rock with his staff 2 times. The water came out, but Moses had disobeyed God. Because of that, Moses would not be allowed to go into the promised land. Soon after, the Israelites were going to travel through the land of Edom. But the people of Edom wouldn't let them. The Israelites had to travel around it. It was a long and hard journey, and the Israelites began to grumble. "Why have you led us out of Egypt to die?" God was so angry with his people that he sent poisonous snakes among them. The snakes bit many of them, and they died. The people knew they had sinned by grumbling against God, so they begged Moses, "Please ask God to take the snakes away." Moses spoke to God and he said, "Make a snake image and put it on a pole. When anyone who is bitten looks at it, he will be healed." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Those who were bitten looked up at the bronze snake and were healed. The Israelites had sinned against God, but he still loved them. He punished their sin, but he also gave them a way to be healed. The Christ Connection says, the Israelites faced a huge problem because of their sin. God sent snakes to punish them. Anyone who was bitten could look at the snake on the pole and not die. Because of our sin, we face a huge problem. We are separated from God. We deserve to die. Anyone who looks to Jesus on the cross and trusts in him will be saved and be made right with God. All right, kids. Head off downstairs. Have a fun time. Be rowdy, not too rowdy, and be nice to your teachers. Now's the time that we usually pray as a church family, and I, for one, am just thankful at this point in time. I know it's going to be lame, but I'm thankful for the weather outside and just appreciate the fact that we're still kind of wearing our fall spring jackets, right? So that's good in my eyes. I know some people enjoy snow. I'm not some of those people, so I'm not necessarily looking forward to Monday, I guess, or even later on this evening. Anyways. Anyone have anything they'd like to share this morning? Yes, Rhonda. That is fantastic. Awesome to hear. No, that's always like the big fear for the farmers is ensuring that their crops get taken up and they're in good health. Anyone else? I'm enthused for the new little one that's with us today, too. That's a blessing to see there. What's her name again, sorry? Della? Della. Fantastic. Oh, look at that. And Reggie's little one's name is? Ragnar. Ragnar. Fantastic. Josiah. Fantastic. It's good to hear. Sliding into those new jobs can be kind of tough sometimes, so I appreciate that. Well, fantastic. Let us pray together at this time. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much as we come together today, and we want to praise you and honor you. We exalt you with our words, with our song, with our praying. Lord, we thank you for all that you do. We thank you for the time that we had just Thanksgiving recently. We got to be around families and see people maybe we haven't seen in a while and just be blessed as we're together and loving on one another. So we thank you for those opportunities. We thank you that right now the weather is still nice and it's lasted quite a time here as we're nearing the end of October. And so we just thank you for all that you continue to do in this area. And as we pray that, we can't help but think about Rhonda's brother as they kind of were in a hurry to harvest the rest of their crops. And thankfully, with the help of community and aid around them, they were able to get it all picked up before the rain came. And the rain hinders the process. So we're just so thankful for that. Thank you so much, Jesus. We continue to pray for the farmers around here. We pray for even the winter time that they're able to fix and mend the machines that need to get repaired here, and they're able to take a break, a well-deserved one, after the rush of harvest and the panic there, and that their fields are prepared for spring and ready to just kind of winter here for the next little bit. May you bless the farmers around. Lord, we thank you so much for new life. We thank you so much for the new little ones around us. We're so blessed to have Della in our presence here today. And Mom, she's doing well, so that is great to hear. We pray for that family. We pray for Landon and Sabrina and the parents that they are, that they would continue to raise their kids with love and show them who you are, Jesus. Thank you so much. And we thank you for Reggie's child as well, Ragnar. And we just pray for health there. We pray for Mom as well, that she's healthy. And we pray that they continue to raise their children in a godly fashion as well. Thank you so much for these new lives. And we pray that the grandparents and the parents are just able to spoil and love these little ones as they start out. Thank you so much. Lord, we thank you for Josiah, and we thank you for the new work that he's in and that he's able to get in there and understand and know his new fellow employees and just love on them and ensure that he shows the character of Christ as he carries out his work. And so we just pray that he's able to witness to those that don't know you and also witness to those who do know you about and strengthen one another in that sense. And so we thank you so much for the continued work there. And we pray that he continues to have a great time at his new job. And we pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. So today I want to continue to get to know the Holy Spirit just a little bit better. And That is our goal every day, to just to get to know him a little better, because there's so much that we can learn about him each and every day. There's an endless amount of information when it comes to him. And so we look to Jesus as he continues teaching about the Holy Spirit, and we want to read from John chapter 14 today. We're going to read John 14, 25 to 26. Starting in verse 25, Jesus says this, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." This passage, it's pretty short, but it's got a lot in it. Because in this passage alone, we see that Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Counselor, as the Advocate. And on top of being called the Counselor, we see that the Holy Spirit is holy, as his name indicates to us. And we're told by Jesus that the Holy Spirit is described as a teacher. This is all just in verse 26. Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as Counselor, the Holy One, and the teacher. But even in this passage, the one descriptor that stands out for the Holy Spirit is that he will teach you all things. He is our teacher. And the aspect of the Holy Spirit as teacher is emphasized in this short statement by Jesus. And we see that this goes even beyond this passage as we read John chapter 16, verse 12 to 15, where it reads, "I have much more to say to you. It is more than you can handle right now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is still going to happen. He will bring me glory, because that's what he receives from me. He will show to you. Everything that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said what the Holy Spirit receives from me, he will show to you." And we also read this in John chapter 15, verse 26 to 27. "I will send the friend to you from the Father. He is the Spirit of truth, who comes out from the Father. When the friend comes to help you, he will be a witness about me. You must also be witnesses about me. That's because you have been with me from the beginning." So this is a special ministry. It's the special ministry of the Holy Spirit, as he is a teacher. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is to teach you all things, and he says this to his disciples in his discourse. He says this to them fully knowing that they were the chosen spokesman for the truth that he had revealed to them. They were to remember his truth and then record it in the pages of what we now have in the New Testament. And these teachings are to be the main focus of the universal church. John 14, 26 demonstrates this. I want us to read it again. We're going to read this a lot today. I'm not going to lie to you, because I think it is a valuable passage. It says, "But the Father will send the friend in my name to help you. The friend is the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things. He will remind you of everything I have said to you." Now, as we approach this, we need to know that this does not suddenly mean that they know all that there is to know, knowing all that Jesus knows is somehow, as all things that can possibly be known are only known to God. But what Jesus did mean was that the Holy Spirit would reveal to them the full truth of the gospel, which is centered in Jesus' life, death, and his resurrection. And this is exactly what the Holy Spirit did in their lives. Think about 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, where it reads, "God has breathed life into all Scripture. It is useful for teaching us what is true. It is useful for correcting our mistakes. It is useful for making our lives whole again. It is useful for training us to do what is right." And so we need to remind ourselves in this moment that the Holy Spirit is still present and active among us today. We're just focusing on the impact at this moment that he had on the disciples. The Holy Spirit, he teaches us as well, and he will not stop in this endeavor. The Holy Spirit, he continues to bring the Word of God, to bring Jesus and his ministry to our remembrance. So once again, I want to take a second here just to remind you that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is massive, and really a discussion for 30 minutes of his activity and ministry does not do his work justice. I will fall very short in any discussion I have about him in 30 minutes. But we want to start by looking at his impact on those early disciples and his activity of teaching them. And we need to understand that these men, they're in great need of teaching. And in particular, the teachings of the Holy Spirit. And this could be a good segue, a good add towards small groups and why we still need them and how the Holy Spirit works in those and teaches us in those moments too. Let's take us back to the time where Jesus is telling this to his disciples. And this seems shocking to us for but a moment, as these men were with Jesus for 3 years. So you would think that they would have some semblance of understanding of the essence of Jesus, of his gospel and his ministry. After all, he had spoken to them for 3 whole years. But the truth is, they hadn't completely understood their teacher, Jesus. And a clue is presented to us in John chapter 14, verse 25, where he says, "I have spoken all these things while I am still with you." Jesus had spoken to them. He had tried to teach his disciples, and yes, he taught them many things, but the gospel message, it didn't really seem to take a solid hold of their brains or a solid hold of their heart. In fact, in most instances, it appeared as though they were actually confused men and that they desperately needed the Holy Spirit's teaching. So Jesus tells them he's departing, and their minds, in a sense, they just seemed to seize up. They weren't really hearing what the Lord Jesus was saying to them. He spoke about the counselor and that he was going to send this counselor, but it does not really appear as though they're really interested in this new teaching of the counselor. Not really. They did not desire to even learn anything about the counselor. No, they just were upset about Jesus that was about to be taken away from them, and they fixated on this fact. So Jesus lays it out for them, as he pretty much says, look, you need teaching. We need teaching. But he says that to the disciples, you need teaching. You really do. You have heard a lot, but you do not fully understand what you've heard. I am going, but in my place, the Holy Spirit is coming, and one of his roles is to teach you. Now think about this. In the teaching of the disciples by the Holy Spirit, God himself desired to teach these men. In fact, the entire Trinity is present in this exercise. Look at John chapter 14, verse 26 yet again. But the Father will send the friend in my name, Jesus, to help you. The friend is the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things. He will remind you of everything I have said to you. The entire Trinity just in one verse there. In other words, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, is sending the Holy Spirit to teach these disciples. God is so interested in them coming to some knowledge of the truth concerning Jesus Christ, just as he is for us today. Now think of how we would have reacted if we were the teacher in this moment, right? Let's put on our Jesus shoes for a moment. I know we're imperfect. But can you imagine, you've taught these people for 3 whole years. They followed you around, they supposedly listened to every word, and so you might look at these disciples in this moment, and they got that kind of clueless blank stare in their face, and you would have been like, you dull, dull disciples. And then maybe you continue on about the great quality of your teaching and how your presentation was and how people should have understood it just based off of that. And you might have said something, it's impossible to imagine a better teacher than what you've just had. You all have just gone through an entire seminary course in 3 years and have had both formal teachings, and you saw me carry out the work as well, so you've had practical teachings. You've had the advantage of a first-class example. So if you don't understand still, guess what? I'm going to have to fail you. Right? Who knows what we might have said had we been the teacher in that moment, and may have said things like that to people that we have taught along the way in our life journey. I know I've had conversations with my kids like that before. Where are you getting this behavior from? I haven't shown you this. I've been a good teacher. What's going on here? But they just didn't get it. So we might want to give up in our teaching. But Jesus does not. God recognizes that these disciples, they are in desperate need of teaching. And so what does God do? God sends his Holy Spirit in order that they might be taught. So ask yourself this question. Were they taught? And I hope your immediate answer is yes, absolutely they were, because the disciples, you could clearly see that they were taught, and the proof is in the Bible itself. The proof is in the fact that the church still exists and it still stands, and that we as a people gather together and we preach Jesus Christ and we promote it, people to take it to the community around us. The teaching of the Holy Spirit worked, and it still works today. And here's the really great thing about the Holy Spirit's teaching of the disciples, because once he came, they began to get it quickly. On the day of Pentecost, Peter, who earlier on had said when the Lord announced his crucifixion, he said this, "Far be it, Lord, that such a thing should happen to you." This same Peter who did not fully understand Jesus, he is the same Peter that would stand up and announce with great understanding that what had occurred in Jerusalem 6 weeks before had been by foreordination of God. The crucifixion is a part of God's perfect plan and was the heart of redemption for all of humanity. Peter preached Jesus Christ to the men who had just crucified Jesus, and the Holy Spirit worked through Peter that day, and many came to faith in Jesus on that occasion. The disciples learned through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit guided them to write those things in the books that have now become our New Testament, and the books record what Jesus said and what he did. They explain it, and they draw conclusions. Now that is all well and good for the disciples and the apostles of old, but what about us today? Well, we need to be taught also. And the great news is that the Holy Spirit, the same one who taught the disciples, is our teacher as well. Paul writes about this in his letter to the church in Corinth. He talks first of the fact that in ourselves we are unable to understand spiritual truths, even when it's recorded in the Bible. But Paul tells us in addition that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the one who inspired the Bible, speaks from its pages to bring us understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 13 reads, "It is written that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human mind has known. God has prepared these things for those who love him. God has shown these things to us through his Spirit. The Spirit understands all things. He understands even the deep things of God. Who can know the thoughts of another person? Only a person's own spirit can know them. In the same way, only the Spirit of God knows God's thoughts. What we have received is not the spirit of the world. We have received the Spirit who is from God. The Spirit helps us understand what God has freely given us. That is what we speak about. We don't use words taught to us by people. We use words taught to us by the Holy Spirit. We use the words taught by the Spirit to explain spiritual truths. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit is explained by Paul in this passage. It was exercised in the first instance when God revealed truth to the apostles and they recorded it. It is then exercised in the second instance when this same Holy Spirit teaches us from these recorded truths. The Holy Spirit teaches us. And in going back to what John says in John 14:26, there's another aspect to this ministry of teaching, and it deals with remembrance. Right? Maybe some of you get a little tired about church and how it seems like a repetitive message sometimes. The reason for that. John chapter 14, verse 26 reads this, "But the Father will send the friend in my name to help you. The friend is the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things. He will remind you of everything I have said to you." So why, if they were taught all things, does anything need to be brought back to mind? Think about this for a moment. It's because we need to see that a ministry of the Holy Spirit and helping us remember is necessary because of what we are like and because of the inability of our minds to retain important teachings and information. And I think back to math class and the high levels of math class that I took, and I enjoyed them thoroughly, only not to remember how to solve a matrix problem as it's presented before me. No chance I could do that today. It is possible to be well taught, even brilliantly taught, and still forget. In the disciples' case, they were taught the meaning of Jesus' ministry for 3 whole years, but forgot that upon which it is based. Jesus' emphasis on remembering teaches us 2 separate truths here. One, it teaches us that the wisdom of God, it's not a new thing. It is that which God has revealed in the past, and that is the same because He is the same. What we preach is not new doctrine, and yes, there is some of that out there we teach. They try to get this new doctrine in there. We do teach an old doctrine once and for all delivered to us, the saints. It is the doctrine of humanity's total inability to help themselves spiritually. God's grace in Jesus Christ, the ministry of the Holy Spirit who takes those truths and brings them home to our hearts and minds so that we understand them, and God's unfailing perseverance with His created, with His love, His people, us. We preach that God does not abandon us, that God who had begun a saving work in us is in such a marvelous way, giving us a new spirit and creating a new soul, will persevere to the end, at which time He will give us a new body and make us like the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. This is what the Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance. And number 2, the other aspect of remembrance is the Word reminds us and teaches us that we tend to forget about these doctrines and truths, even though we have heard them many times before. And all we have to do is look at the history of church, as all throughout the history of church, we see a history of great blessing through the Holy Spirit, a time of reformation and a time of revival. And it's all followed by a gradual forgetting of the message. And this happens again and again. So we pray for revival. We pray for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit on our church and on the North American church as a whole, because we can't stop pursuing this. We need to remember Jesus and His gospel. We need to remember what it teaches us to do. And one of my jobs is to remind our church of God's truths. And so I hope I honor the Lord in doing that. And one of your jobs is to remind each other of God's truths. Hence the small group stuff once again. And one of the jobs of the church as a whole is to remind the world of God's truths, even though the world may reject them. The words of Jesus Christ, they're powerful. They're life-changing. And so we need to pay special attention to them. We need to remember them. We need to remind ourselves of what Jesus says and the object of His teaching. And the object of His teaching, it is Jesus. Jesus says, "He will remind you of everything I have said to you." And we look again to John 15, verse 26 to 27, which says, "I will send the friend to you from the Father. He is the Spirit of truth who comes out from the Father. When the friend comes to help you, He will be a witness about me. You must also be witnesses about me. That's because you have been with me from the beginning." And we look again to John chapter 16, verse 12 to 14. "I have much more to say to you. It is more than you can handle right now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is still going to happen. He will bring me glory. That's because what He receives from me, He will show to you." And we do have a small danger, even as evangelicals, of making scriptures an end in themselves. We study the Bible at times as we would a textbook. We memorize the data. We're always forgetting that the purpose of the scripture is not to exist as an end in themselves, though they will endure forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away, the Bible says. They're to reveal Jesus Christ to a seeking heart and a seeking mind, those passages. And along with this, the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to teach the truth of Jesus to us. Teaching spiritual truths cannot be done in the power of the flesh. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, where it says, "And this was the way it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I didn't come with fancy words or human wisdom. I preached to you the truth about God's love. My goal while I was with you was to talk about only one thing, and that was Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. When I came to you, I was weak and very afraid and trembling all over. I didn't preach my message with clever and compelling words. Instead, my preaching showed the Holy Spirit's power." Three things are necessary for us if God's truth is to be properly communicated to others. Number one, there must be the revelation of the truth to the apostles by the Holy Spirit. Good news! Step one's already done. We don't have to worry about that one. It's all right there. That's fantastic. Number two, there must be the teaching of the Holy Spirit to our hearts so that as we read their words, we come face to face with Jesus Christ. Hence, we study it. We dig deeper. We seek him out in prayer as we study it so that we can learn more about who he is. Number three, there must be the continuing work of the Holy Spirit to take our testimony concerning the Word and carry it home to the hearts of those who have not yet understood or those who have not heard yet. Three simple steps. And yet there can be error in all three stages. Some people don't begin with the Scripture. They consider the Bible to contain words of men rather than the words that the Holy Spirit breathed upon these apostles. Having thrown out the base, they have nothing which to stand, and their theology becomes mere speculation. Don't do that. There are others who accept the Bible as the Word of God, but who do not allow the Holy Spirit to teach them. They study the Bible like an academic book, and they may have high doctrine in their understanding of Scripture. They do not strive to see the Lord Jesus Christ in its pages, though. Then there are those who accept the Bible as the Word of God and who do meet Jesus in the pages, but they testify in their own power and in a way that brings glory to themselves, and almost none are one. Tragic. When we think about it, we do a farmer's work. That's the key. It's work. Do farmers work hard? Kyle's not here, is he? Where is he? Kyle, do you work hard? Absolutely they do. They're super hard workers. And so we're supposed to be hard workers as well. And we begin by preparing the soil. We then take a seed and then we plant it. We water it. We wait for it to grow. But we do not give life to the seed. The seed already has life in it. And yes, we could scratch a furrow and place the seed in it, but the ground must have the nutrients that God has placed there. And even then, the work of God, it's not finished. For the seed will not grow unless the sun shines upon it. The Holy Spirit must be the sun in our witnessing. He must shine forth in our testimony. He must shine forth in each and every one of our lives. So we must look to God to give us life. And he desires to do that. And he desires for us to be the shining, bright presence in the communities all around us. So we need to remind ourselves that the soil around us is fertile and it requires workers to prepare the field for the harvest of the life of Jesus Christ. That is our job. And we need to work hard. Join me as I pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much just for all that you do in our lives. And so as we sit here today, may your Holy Spirit just start nudging us with gentle words. Gentle words of how you love us. How you're present among us. How you want to do a special work in us. So as we hear your words, Lord, may we turn to you as our teacher. May we hear the words that you've placed on our hearts as we go through Scripture, as we pray, as we hear a prophetic word, whatever it happens to be. Let us be a church that you've called us to be. One that desires to work and is passionate about seeing the work of Jesus unfold in the lives all around us. Let us see lives change around here. So, Lord, we pray for a revival. We pray for just a flowing of your Holy Spirit in North America here, that we would transform and change under the winds of who you are. Teach us how to be your followers. We pray this year in you. Amen.